Deuteronomy chapter 18, and we'll read from verse number 9. Deuteronomy chapter 18, and we'll read from the verse number 9. Thank you for coming out, and again we look to the Lord to bless our time together this evening. Deuteronomy chapter 18, and reading from the verse number 9, please. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. And for these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren. Like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord thy God, and neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto me, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. We land at verse 18, and we trust again the Lord to bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word. Well, we want to continue our series this evening, looking at going behind enemy lines, and tonight we want to have a little look at some of the things that we could describe as being occultish. I remember reading an email, this is a number of years ago, indeed it was dated in 1997, and it's from a girl called Jeanne Dixon, and this is what she said. Hello, I'm Jeanne Dixon, a psychic medium, healer, spiritualist, clairvoyant, and astrologer. My horoscopes and predictions are found in all the major newspapers and publications worldwide. I can predict your future. I can ease your pain. I can help you make decisions that are important in your life. I can help resolve job anxieties. I have a psychic pool filled with hand-picked psychics, all of the same capabilities as mine. Along with my psychic pool, have helped millions of people all over. I, along with my psychic pool, have helped millions of people all over the world to resolve the unknown. Please call and let me help you. My psychic facility can be reached 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, including holidays. Then it goes in a little bit about the cost of it. Now, the name Jeanne Dixon will mean nothing to you, I'm sure, tonight. But the fact is, when this email was sent, she was dead. And so she must be pretty good when she's able to send emails and she's dead. She became famous a number of years ago. In fact, I think it was 1957. She was interviewed by a magazine, and she predicted that a president, a Democratic president, would be elected in 1960, a tall young man with blue eyes and brown hair, and that he would die in office. Later on, she told the people who interviewed her that she actually had told them that the president would be assassinated, but they refused to publish it. And of course, when JF Kennedy was assassinated, people then reckoned that there must be something behind this lady's psychic powers. But when you look into all her predictions, of course, not all proved to be true. She predicted that the World War III would begin in 1958 over offshore Chinese islands, that the Soviets would land the first man on the moon, and that Nixon and not Kennedy actually would be the president in 1960. She was, strangely to say, a devout Roman Catholic. After the September 11th attack in the United States, one of the most searched phrases on the internet was the name Nostradamus. Some of you may have heard of Nostradamus. He's someone who had written these predictions in the 4th century, and many people have looked at them, and they seem to be able to tie them in to certain events. And one of his predictions seemed very, very close to what happened in New York on September the 11th. But of course, we have the only reliable guide to the future, the Word of God. Daniel 2, verse 45 records this. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king, this is Nebuchadnezzar's dream, what shall come to pass hereafter. The dream is certain, the interpretation thereof sure. God's word is certain, God's word is sure. The rest of this is nonsense, and it can't be trusted, and it can't be believed. Peter said, 2 Peter 1 verse 19, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. What we have is the word of God, and that's the only source that you can rely on for the future tonight. That's important, as we shall see in a few moments' time. We've tried over these number of weeks to set the scene. We will get to the whole armour of God eventually. I've probably taken longer to get there than I anticipated. We looked at the battle, we've looked at the angels, we've looked at the devil, we've looked at demons, we've looked at demonic activity behind governments, and surely in the last number of days we have seen the fruition of this. Who would ever have thought of three-parent families? Well, the devil would have thought of it. And how he's able to get into the minds of politicians, and Ronnie and I were talking before the meeting, you'd wonder what they're going to think of next. There's no limit to the depravity of man in these days. And you can see demonic activity behind government. And of course, we looked at demonic activity behind ecclesiasticism as well, in churches, and how many of the churches are moving away from truth and going in a direction that's against Scripture. And of course, it's leading up to that one world church that will be here, I believe, when the true church is taken away. Tonight, we want to look at the occult and see what God's word has to say of some of the activities that go on in the world. First of all, I want to say that the word of God condemns it outrightly. Exodus 22 verse 18, it says this, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Those are some very strong words. A witch in the Bible is not a lady travelling on a broomstick with a funny hat. It simply means one who knows, one who tells the future, one who claims to know the future apart from the word of God. One who will make prophecies, if you like, and use that term loosely, outside the word of God. When they do this, they're actually breaking the first commandment. Exodus 20, verse 2. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. For one to claim that they have a power that belongs to God only is breaking the first commandment. There are other scriptures I'm going to share with you this evening as well that confirm that occultic practice and association is condemned in the word of God. Leviticus 19, verse 26. Ye shall not eat anything with the blood, neither use any enchantment, nor observe times. Leviticus 19, verse 31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits. I'll look into these terms a little bit later. Neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. The word of God says anybody who practices these things is defiled by them. In our reading this evening in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations. And then it goes into these practices that we look at in more detail a little later. And the word of God talks about being defiled by them, and it talks about an abomination. In the reign of King Manasseh, some of what you read in Deuteronomy 18 was practiced by Israel. 2 Kings 21 verse 6, he made his sons to pass through the fire, observed times and used enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards, and he wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. God is angry with those who practice these things, and the word of God describes it as much wickedness. And so it can't be any plainer. When you look at the Old Testament, they're defiling, they're an abomination, they're wicked, and of course they make God angry. When we come in to the New Testament, it's no different. Acts 16 verse 16, it says this, we looked at this one evening, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination. Here's a young girl that was being used to predict the future, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And this is what Paul said. And this did she many days, but Paul being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. Paul knew it was demonic. Paul knew that this activity was demonic activity. When people were saved in Ephesus, what did they do? Acts 19:19. Many of them which used curious arts brought their books together and burnt them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. You can see the word of God condemns it. You can see that the people of God are expected to have nothing to do with it. And those who are saved in Ephesus, they burned all association with the occult and occultish practices. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil, even the appearance of it, have nothing to do with it. I think that's pretty simple this evening. I don't think I'll get any argument from anyone here tonight. The word of God condemns it outrightly. Let's look at some of the characters of the occult, perhaps characteristics of the occult. Look at Deuteronomy 18, verse 10. Deuteronomy 18, verse 10. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. The first people mentioned here are those who make their children pass through the fire. Let me say this, that sacrifice has been long associated with occultish practice. It's well known that Halloween, which is regarded in the occultish calendar as their holy of all holy days, and they have many of their holy days, and I use that word with reference to Halloween, and I'll say a little bit more about it later, that satanic power is supposed to be at its peak, and Satan is worshipped, honored, and glorified by his followers. This worship often takes the form of an animal and sometimes human sacrifice. This is followed by the ritualistic drinking of the blood of the victim. I have read some of the stories of people who've been saved from these practices. They talk about a baby being fathered by the high priest, mothered by one of the witches in the coven, the secret club, and this baby could be the victim. Now you may think that couldn't really happen. Well, who would know? Who would know if this baby's born and there's no medical records kept? Who would know anything about it? There's a lady called Audrey Harper. She was very famous in the late 60s because she was saved out of witchcraft. And she told that she witnessed a nine-day-old baby girl, something like I've just been described, being sacrificed. Now, there's no way I can back up what she said. Her book's still available. I tried to research it again on the internet, and again, it's still there and some poor cold water on it, but she stands by the story. She also said that she witnessed a young man who was cursed by a witch dropping dead by a heart attack, simply because he talked too much. And so I can't verify what I'm saying, but I can tell you these is what people who've been saved out of these covens are saying takes place. There is still child sacrifice, and there's certainly animal sacrifice. Public records in the United States show that children and animals are more likely to be abducted at Halloween than any other part of the year. A former British MP, David Wiltshire, said this: Satanism exists in this country as it exists elsewhere. It's appallingly evil. It's about murder. It's about child abuse. It's about sexual abuse. It's no joke. It must be taken seriously, and it must be dealt with. I remember listening to a message being preached. It was a Free Presbyterian minister on the occult one night, and I was listening to it, and I've never heard this before, but apparently he said that during October, cat sellers and some of the catteries, I think that's the right word, won't release cats because a lot of people are looking for black cats, although I'm told now the color doesn't match it, that these cats may be particularly sacrificed around Halloween time. Now, I thought I would check this out, and I did check it out, and many of the cat websites will tell you that they won't release cats during the month of October because they're going to be, they have this fear that they may be sacrificed. When I was researching for the meeting this evening, just to let you know, I don't buy the Sun newspaper, just in case any of you think that I buy the Sun. The Sun newspaper carried this headline. This didn't occur at Halloween, but this is a true story. It was a news story. I think it was also on the news, and this is what it said. A vile gang of devil worshippers has killed and eaten four Russian teenagers in a sickening ritual. The Satanists stabbed each of the victims a terrifying 666 times before dismembering their bodies and cooking them on a bonfire. Don't have to read any more. It's very sickening and very shocking. These four teenagers were described as goths. They were lured one by one to a country cottage where they were allegedly forced to get drunk before this revolting ritual began. One of the arrested Satanists said this: "Satan will help me to avoid responsibility. I have made lots of sacrifices to him." I'm just talking about the occult tonight. You see Deuteronomy 18, verse 10. "There shall not be found any one of you that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire." Look how it continues. "Or uses divination." Now, this has nothing to do with water divining. It's similar. In fact, it's the same as a consulter with a familiar spirit. Someone has a spirit and they consult this spirit about the future. This is the equivalent to our spirit mediums that you find today. In fact, I met Kenny today for a cup of tea, and he had in his pocket one of these cards as a restaurant in Banbridge, green tea or green something, I can't remember the name of it. He said he was up paying one day, which is strange for him. Somebody else usually has to pay it. And he says on the counter was a little card from a psychic. I can't remember her name, June or something like that. And there's a psychic and a mobile number, and if you want help, you can give this lady a ring. And I'm assuming because it was in Banbridge and it's a mobile number, that she's probably a local person. So this is on our doorsteps. Come over to 1 Samuel chapter 28, because we do read about a specific event in the Bible. And this is sometimes something that questions are asked about, and I'll just share it with you this evening. Because it may be a question that you're asked in the future about the so-called witch of Endor. Saul had stooped so low that no longer was God speaking to him. No longer was he able to speak to God. And so he was trying to find out information. And so 1 Samuel 28, he stoops so low that he actually seeks out a woman that has one of these familiar spirits. He's trying to find out something about the future. And I say he had stooped so low, but he's going to learn a lesson here, and this witch is going to learn a lesson as well. 1 Samuel 28, verse 7. "Then said Saul unto his servants, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, Behold, there's a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor." This is why she's known as the witch of Endor. Verse 8. "And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night and said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee." Saul wanted to know about the future. Now look down to verse 15. "And Samuel said unto Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answered me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do." Saul's looking to know about the future, and that's what divination is all about. It's one who consults a familiar spirit. Now, Saul knew this was wrong. Look up the chapter to verse 9 again. "And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done." This is what Saul had done. Remember, he's disguised. "How he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life and to cause me to die?" She thinks this is a sting operation. She doesn't know that it's Saul yet, but she thinks that this is a sting operation and someone is trying to catch her out, because Saul in his better days had condemned all these things, like the word of God said. Look at verse 11. "Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up to thee?" She thinks that this man's genuine. "And he said, Bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel..." Now, I don't believe she ever got started. I don't believe she got started to do her magic stuff, because I believe God stepped in here. Because look at the reaction in verse 12. "And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice." She couldn't believe it, because it never worked before. You see, this was Samuel. And Samuel was going to bring Saul a message. And this woman is taken back, because she was a con artist and she was a fraud. And all of a sudden, Samuel's appear, and she's taken by surprise. She cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, "Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul." She knew now that this was Saul, and she knew that whatever had happened, that she had absolutely no control over it. But I just wanted you to see what's behind those that go after those with familiar spirits. I wanted you to see that this is to do with trying to find out the future. And going to people, and they will consult this familiar spirit who will try and tell you what the future holds for you. This is condemned by the word of God. Let's come back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. And very often people will ask you, did Saul really see a witch? Did this woman have this power? I would say to you, she didn't, and I believe she was shocked. And I believe God had stepped in, and I think when you read the story, you discover that. But come to Deuteronomy chapter 18 again. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. We've looked at sacrifices, or uses divinations. This is the consulter with familiar spirits, or an observer of times. These are people that watch the stars to predict the future. A newspaper one day left out the horoscopes by mistake, and they were flooded with complaints because there were people in the country who couldn't make a decision because there was no stars for them to read. These zodiac signs, these stars, these horoscopes, they're all condemned in Scripture, and they're off the devil. Now let me read you a couple of verses from Isaiah 47, verse 12. I didn't realize these were in Scripture. And I've read through the Bible before a number of times, but I never noticed this before. Isaiah 47, verse 12, because it speaks specifically about the star. Some people think these are innocent things. Of course, a lot of it's hocus-pocus nonsense. How could someone born in the same birthday, all of the same things happen to them in the same day? You would know it's rubbish. But behind it, there's a deeper and dangerous thing. People trying to find out what lies ahead outside of God. Isaiah 47, verse 12. Stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth, if so be that they may be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Now let the astrologers, the stargazers, and catch this phrase, the monthly prognosticators, stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon you. See, even in those days, there were those who gave monthly stars that would help people find out what lay ahead for them. These things are condemned in Scripture. These things are an abomination. These things are of the devil. They're not just innocent fun. And some people can be led astray, and some of these things may appear to be innocent and fun, but they're drawing people into occultish behavior. And that's why they're dangerous. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. I know I'm flicking you back and forward a little bit. Deuteronomy 18, verse 10. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter pass through the fire, useth divination, or an observer of times, or a chanter. And a chanter is one who chants. That's very simple. One who puts a spell on people. And I've already mentioned this young boy who apparently died from a heart attack, who was cursed for talking too much. We read about a witch, and then we find about a wizard, and a wizard is just the masculine. Again, it simply means one who knows, and it's the same word as sorcerer. And many of these terms are interchangeable, so that's why we don't look at them all. But that's what an enchanter is. And then we come to a charmer, under verse 11, or a charmer, one who works magic. And this magic often involves healing powers by demonic. I remember when Jackie Hughes came to Coke as pastor, and that's a long time ago, he was shocked when he came to Coke. Because even in the church there, people talked about getting a charm. I remember he hurt himself sometime. And somebody says to him, why did you go and get the charm for it? He was taken aback. He says, Scripture condemns that. And many of God's people were involved in these things and hadn't realized that these are occultish things. These are dangerous things. And sometimes people will say, yes, but it works. That's even more scary. It's even more scary when it works. These things are not of the Lord. These things are demonic. And these things are of the devil. It was charmers who worked the miracles in Egypt in Exodus 7, verse 8. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians, that word could be translated, the charmers of Egypt, did there in like manner with their enchantments. Again, Daniel encountered the magicians, the charmers, during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. And God's people are told to avoid all such demonic activity. Now, there's no charmers in Coke now, I have to say that. Jackie Hughes drove them all out. They're all away now. But anyway, that's just a little bit about the charmers. Look at verse 11. Are a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, we've looked at that. Or a wizard, we've looked at that. And then we come to a necromancer. A necromancer is someone who inquires of the dead. They will contact your departed loved ones for you. And you see that sometimes with seances. And they'll try to talk to your departed loved one and bring messages from them. Sometimes some of the messages they bring are very, very accurate. Some of it's just a con. Some of it is demons. It's very dangerous. And there are many people who are led astray. Many people who go to these things and they do honestly believe in their heart. And I can understand the desire of people who've lost a loved one to talk to that person. I understand the desire to find out where they are. I can understand all of these things, especially those who have no Christian upbringing or don't understand the truths of Scripture, that we will see our loved ones again. We will be reunited with them in glory, and we will see them in a better day and in a better place. And so I have sympathy with them, but you can see that this is of the devil, and it's used by the devil to draw more and more people into occultish behavior. A number of years ago, the Ouija boards were very popular, especially among school children, and many children were being drawn into occultish behavior. Occult, the word just simply means knowledge of the hidden. It's all about knowledge, getting to know something outside of the Lord. It's condemned outrightly in Scripture. I think you can see that. You can see some of the characteristics of the occult. I need to move on. Let me say something about the church and its observations. Come over to Acts 8. You see this for a moment. And I want to point this out to you tonight, just so that you're aware of some of the things that are going on in this day and age. I have the God channel on my TV, but I rarely watch it. There's one or two people on it who are excellent. David Jeremiah is probably the best. If he's ever on, you watch him. Brilliant Bible teacher. But a lot of it is dangerous and a lot of it's deceptive. It's not new. There's nothing new under the sun. Look at Acts 8 verse 5. Acts 8 verse 5. And this is just maybe sidetracked a little, but something I wanted to share with you tonight. Look at Acts 8 verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. He goes with the only message worth preaching. And all people of one accord give heed unto those things which Philip speak, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. There's a revival in Samaria, and Philip is at the head of it. Look at verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before times in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Here's the Simon the sorcerer, as he's known, to whom they all give heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. This man was practicing sorcery. This man was into some of the demonic activity that we've been talking about. He had bewitched the people. He was seen as a great man. And they even said, this man is the great power of God. And that's Satan's aim. He wants to be like the Most High. And so you'll find him in religious circles trying to do religious things. He wants to be like the Most High. This man could see that people were being saved. He was losing a little bit of his power, so he wanted a wee bit of the action. Look at verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Look at verse 13. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs that were done. He professes, he gets baptized, and if you want proof that baptism doesn't save, you'll see it right here, because this man was never saved. He professed to be saved, he was baptized, but he was never a child of God. He wanted the miracles and the signs. He could see what these people were doing. These were sign gifts, and he wanted a piece of the action. Verse 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. He's looking power. Verse 20. Peter had now come on the scene. Then Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Catch this man, Simon. He's interested in signs, he's interested in wonders, he's interested in miracles, and he's interested in money. Does it seem familiar? You watch the God Channel. When I was in India, been in India a couple of times preaching, and you know, they're having tuppence. They really are in poverty. And I saw Benny Hinn on the Indian television, and he was preaching to thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Indians who haven't tuppence. And there to them, he was appealing for money and money and money and money. And they were being promised miracles, they were being promised healing, they were promised everything under the sun. And it was all about signs, it was all about wonders, and it was all about money. And I can tell you, I don't know where it's from, but it's not from the Lord. It's not from the Lord. And much of what you see on the God Channel, and sometimes I believe it's even creeping into our own province, it's all about signs, it's all about wonders, and it's all about money. And it's of the devil. It's not of the Lord. And you can see that there's nothing new under the sun. We had it back in Acts chapter 8. And Peter had the gift of discernment, and he could see right through this man. Be careful that you don't be taken in. Job 2 verse 7, we read this. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And the question has often been asked, I think it was Dr. Barnhouse who originally asked the question, if Satan can cause someone to be sick, can he cause someone to be healed? Yes, he can. So don't be sucked in. Don't be taken in by every miracle, every healing, and every wonder that you hear about. I'm amazed at some of God's people who are mature in the faith and what they've bought into. Hook, line, and sinker. You see what's condemned outright. You see the characters of the occult. You see the church's observation. That's just something I want to share with you. Let me say something about the Christian obligation. What about the child of God concerning these things? It's never for me to dictate to you what you do or what you don't do. Think about Halloween. Is it a harmless holiday, or is it what I once called a helly day? I have to admit, I never liked it. Even as a child, I never liked it. I remember being out one Halloween night, and our local doctor came and he caught me by the hair, at her then, and he pulled me back, and he says, look at that fence. You're after knocking something. I wasn't near the fence at all. And I never liked Halloween anyway, but after that, I definitely didn't like Halloween. I just never had much time for it at all. And there are some things that are wrong and some things that are debatable. And Paul had to deal with some of these issues regarding meats and all sorts of different things. And therefore, I'm always slow to tell people what they can or cannot do. But there's a few things about Halloween that perhaps we should be aware of. Halloween has now overtaken Valentine's Day in terms of high street sales. And I think you'll see that. It's amazing every year. Even in the United States, one American pastor says this, and I say I can only take his word to it. Halloween is second only to Christmas when it comes to sales in the United States of America. Now, I know a lot of people that are engaged in Halloween are not into occultish behavior. They're not really aware of the background of it, and most people will do it and get out of it, and that's it. But I think there are some dangers associated with Halloween. Halloween in English-speaking countries comes from a Celtic festival. It's spelt Samhain, but that's not how it's pronounced. It's pronounced Sowain, S-O-W-I-N, because in the Gaelic words apparently are pronounced differently. It was a kind of a New Year's celebration, 31st of October to the 2nd of November. It was spread over 3 days, and that was all part of this Samhain or Sowain holiday. These believed that these days were, for them, remember, a translation from the old year to the new year. And during this time, the boundary between the physical world and the spiritual world was relaxed, or it was lifted. And they believed because it was relaxed that spirits could come from the other side. And these spirits could come and mix with people. And these spirits very often had to be bought off. And so people would set out treats to buy off these wicked spirits. Because if they didn't set out treats, then there would be tricks. And that's where trick or treat comes from. They wanted to appease the spirits. Others would hold seances and try and conduct all kinds of divination to try and get in touch with these spirits that were supposed to be around. Also, it was called No Time. Because it was between an old year, remember this is going back to a Celtic calendar, and a new year, it was seen as no time. And because it was no time, you could do what you want. And so what you got then, remember this is going back to the time of the Druids and the pagans, you could really do what you want. There seemed to be no law. And so people would run riot, and people would do all sorts of nonsensical things that they wouldn't do at a normal time of the year. And men would dress up as women, and women would dress up as men, and people took on different personas, and they put on different disguises. They would take the doors off houses, they would climb into windows, through windows instead of doors. It was a chaotic period. The Celtic priests were called druids. These druids at that time would offer sacrifices, usually of crops and animals, but sometimes even of humans, in order to placate the gods. The idea of the bonfire was that it was to worship the sun god, that the sun would come back. Indeed, bonfire actually is bone fire, because the sacrifices were burnt in the fire. The bones were on the fire. That's where bone fire now become bonfire, and that's where it came from. And there are many other things that are associated with Halloween that we can trace back to pagan practices. There was a book published by CEF in 1993, and this is what it said: fireworks may have replaced the ancient custom of throwing nuts in the fire to explode and frighten away spirits. Dressed up, used as a disguise to blend in with the wandering spirits. Ducking for apples was practiced to ensure good fortune. When Catholicism arrived on the scene, they had what they called an All Saints Day. This Samhain period was when the spirits would move from the other side. They had a day that was called All Saints Day on May the 13th. And they said to the people, now you're becoming Roman Catholics, this is the day when you remember the saints, remember those who have been departed. But these pagans weren't happy with that, because Halloween was much more fun than going to chapel. And so Pope Gregory, in order to appease them, he then moved All Hallows or All Saints Day to November the 1st. And so November the 1st became All Saints Day, a day in which they will go and they will pray for departed saints. The day before that became All Eve's Hallow, or Hallow's Eve, and Hallow's Eve eventually became Halloween. Remember, hollow and holy are all the same word for saints and spirits. And so All Hallow's Eve became Halloween. And of course, any Christian semblance has long disappeared from the event. CEF gave the following advice on Halloween: teach the children God's love, warn them about the danger of Halloween, and pray for the children that God will protect them and they'll never become entangled in the occult. Now, that's very, very quick this evening on that sort of behaviour. There's much more we could say about it tonight. I don't like Halloween. I really don't like it. And in my opinion, I think God's people should have nothing to do with it. If you're going to have a party, have it on a different day. If you're going to do some of these things, do it at a different time. Just don't be associated with Halloween. I don't think it's good. And you might be all right, but maybe someone else might get sucked in. You see that these practices are condemned outrightly. You see the characters of the occult. You see the church observation. You see something about Christian obligation. I want to say something about Christ only. I want you to come back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. We're nearly finished. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Because I think it's interesting in the same chapter. Remember verses 10 to 12 we've looked at? Remember the occult and witches and wizards? It's all about knowledge and knowing. It's all about knowing what to do and knowing where to go and knowing the future. And in the same chapter in Deuteronomy 18, it's interesting what the Lord has put in here. Look at Deuteronomy 18 verse 15. I read this deliberately tonight. And here's one of the messianic prophecies, if you like. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. And so there's a prophet that was going to be raised up like God. Look down to verse 17. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them that which I shall command him. And you know, we have the Savior this evening. And it's his words. It's the word of God that we depend on tonight. And it's even better than that. Hebrews 2, verse 14. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, that is Christ, also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. That prophet that was raised up from the midst of his brethren, that prophet who would speak the word of God, that prophet was Jesus Christ. He is the one that went to the cross and defeated sin, defeated death, defeated hell, and defeated the devil. And the devil is the defeated one tonight. And so when you read all about these occultish behavior, don't be frightened. Don't be terrified, because the devil is defeated. He's doomed. Revelation 20 verse 10 says, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented night and day forever and ever. And you know, all this occultish behavior, it teaches me that the devil's real, that Satan's real, that the devil's subtle. But you know, I'm also reminded that Jesus Christ is greater than him. And we've said it every time as we come to the end of these messages. Yes, he's almighty. But yes, he's mighty, but we have the one who is almighty. And so we don't want to get all caught up with all the things that are going on and get frightened and terrified. We always have to remember that we have the greater one on our side than we are on the victory side. October the 31st is a big date in the occultist calendar. That's Halloween. But you know, it's a big date in the Christian calendar as well. Because it was on the 31st of October, 1517, that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Cathedral. And of course, that was the beginning of the so-called Protestant Reformation. The cry of the Reformation is, the just shall live by faith. We live by faith and we walk by faith. And this is what the Word of God says. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Listen, we are on the victory side. We are the overcomers. So don't be overcome. And don't be frightened of what I've said this evening, because we're on the victory side tonight. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the time we spent in thy word this evening. Lord, we would confess we're dealing with lots of things that we take at second hand, these occultish things. But Lord, what we find in Scripture is teaching us that these things are wrong, they're off the devil. And Lord, we pray that you would protect us, protect our families. Lord, help us to be a good influence in the world. Help us to be salt and light. Help us to shine as lights in this dark world. And Lord, we would pray for this town of Rathfrielin. We would pray, Lord, that any who are dabbling in occultish behavior, Lord, that they will be delivered from it. Any, Lord, who are gripped in a special way by Satan, Lord, that they will be set free. And Lord, we thank that you're able to do this. But Lord, we do pray again that you will put a hedge around about our assembly and around about our homes and around about our family. Lord, we do believe that Satan is real and he is that roaring lion. But Lord, we thank you tonight for that we are in the victory side and that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So Lord, continue with us now, for we ask it in our Saviour's precious name. Amen.